ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
I think one main challenge I've set myself is to hopefully avoid any potential copyright issues with the way that I sample and what I do.
Yeah.
Because that's a bit of a minefield that I may not have navigated yet. cut that bit out.
This month, Gautier's breakthrough album, Like Drawing Blood, turns 20. It was the record that took him from bedroom producer to hottest 100 fave, showcasing his incredible talent at sewing sounds. The man behind Gautier, Wally DeBakker, has been keeping a low profile for a while. But back in 2007, after a huge year following this album's release, he joined me to Take Five.
Good morning, Wally.
Hello, how are you, Zen?
I'm good.
This is one of the very first Take Fives that ever went down, and the first time it's ever appeared on the podcast. It's a real joy to jump in the time machine and travel back to this moment. It was before Gautier released his worldwide smash, Somebody That I Used to Know, and before he got heavy band Carnival on board to remix his song. Why I'm telling you that will become apparent very soon. Homebake Festival still existed, and Wally was at a precipice, head spinning from a wild year with no idea of what was ahead. His theme? His top five moments of the last 12 months. His songs, all Australian. It's such a treat to rustle into my archive and dig this one out for you. It's a real time capsule for all of us. So I hope you enjoy it as we wind back to 2007 and Take Five with Gautier. Are these absolutely your top five moments, or are they just five really good moments of the last year?
Yeah, they're moments. I mean, I tried to choose some music, A, that I have really liked over the last year or year and a half, and also tried to choose Aussie artists. I think I managed to stick with all Aussie artists in the five.
You did?
Yeah, and so, they did go kind of hand in hand with a few moments I thought were significant in the last 12 months. So.
All right, well, let's kick in with the first one, Mr. Josh Pyke. I'm a man like I used to be. I want to feel you in, 'cause there's a hole. Just where the animals lived, and I wanna fill you in. Why did you choose this one, Wally?
I guess I first saw Josh play at the Wesleyan in Northcote, just north of Melbourne, when he was playing to about, I think, 30 people.
Yeah.
And it was just really nice, I guess, to meet him and be really impressed by his music and hear Feeding the Wolves, and just I kind of put it on fairly obsessively for a week. And this was the track that really caught me first and made me go, wow, this guy Josh is just an amazing songwriter. And that was before, in terms of how it maybe connects with my last year, it was before I put my album out, before things got a little crazy, I guess. Like, I've been insanely busy, and so it does make me think of a time when I could actually get out and see some gigs, because I'm struggling to do that at the moment. And also just, yeah, see an amazing singer-songwriter clearly just at the cusp of, you know, connecting with a wider audience. And then the weatherman said to go back to bed, 'cause it's a shame to go outside when the wind keeps howling down. So for a little while there I live inside.
Through. You are a man of many tastes, but I was kind of taken aback when I saw that you'd added Carnival into the mix. Why do these guys rate for you?
Well, I do like a lot of heavy music. As a teenager, definitely loved a lot of grunge, grew up listening to that, playing that with friends, and got into metal, got into prog metal and older stuff, as well as, you know, not so much, I guess, into really extreme, you know, grind and hardcore and that type of stuff, but definitely into some really heavy music. And I realized when I discovered Carnival stuff only about halfway through last year, it felt like I was just reconnecting with this awesome power that good heavy music can have, because I hadn't been listening to any for years. And so I was like, wow, there is this amazing band in Australia doing immense heavy music that I find, you know, really powerful. And it was not sort of a feeling I'd kind of been looking for or had gotten from music for a while, which was just really to be, I don't know, it's hard to explain. Something about being part of this insane flow of heavy sound, and perhaps because the drumming album is so full on, like I just get off on listening to the way Drew plays on that album.
Do you ever get a bit of metal drumming into your set?
I may have tried that here and there. I don't know. There's a track on my first record that called The Only Thing I Know that has some pretty insane programmed drum playing that I tried to program to sound like a really amazing live drummer. And now I'm in the position of playing live, attempting to recreate my own programming, which is proving remarkably difficult.
Let's talk about that live show, because I had the pleasure of catching you last weekend at the Golden Plains Festival, where you were joined by, was it 10 people on stage as well as you, or more?
Roughly, yeah. Nine, actually.
A string section, two sax players, massive, massive percussion with bongos and congas and all kinds of stuff going on. And it was amazing to watch. How long have you been playing with this setup? Was it the first time?
That was the first show with that setup, yeah. That was a result of about three fairly intense rehearsals, because I could only get people together for that kind of limited kind of rehearsal time, because there's so many people's time to organise.
Yeah.
And I chose to try and rehearse everybody in a venue with a full PA setup and full monitoring rig, so that we could, you know, really get a sense of being on a stage, playing, having my sort of front of house man get a chance to balance the sounds and get a sense of what he was going to have to deal with. So, but yeah, still very limited rehearsal. So that was, I guess, a bit of a testing ground for this possible Gautier mini orchestra getting out there on the road.
Is it hard for you to release control of your music to other musicians, or do you kind of revel in it and say, yep, go, take it and run with it?
With what I attempted on the weekend, it's fairly, you know, sort of directed and orchestrated. No, folks, if anything, are more badgering me for more direction some of the time. I will kind of... There were times actually just before the set on Golden Plains where I was saying, all right, you're all good with that song, aren't you, James, to my percussionist. And he was like, oh, can we just pull up that chart and have a look? And what do you want me to play there? And I'm like, oh, I don't mind. And he's like, no, can you give me something to play? So, yeah, there hasn't been so much freedom for the other musos, whether they want it or not. I think everyone's kind of preferred to just try and really nail the charts that I'm aiming for at the moment, and hopefully we can kind of free it up as we go.
This is the only way. I'm going to be a bit of a meanie now. Why did it take you so long? Why has it taken you so long to put this band together?
Look, I think when I put the album out, I actually had no intention of playing this music live.
Okay.
I'd tried it before on the back of Boardface, my first album. It proved remarkably difficult because I guess there wasn't nearly as much interest in my music, and so it wasn't maybe as sure a bet that I might be able to, say, you know, do well at certain size venues and hence sort of, you know, be able to project that I can pay my band this much and I can afford to pay them for rehearsals and I can, this will be worthwhile. That kind of feeling certainly wasn't there, and so it was in an intense time just trying to organise 9 other people's time. We managed about 2 shows, and you know, there were good things about them, there were bad things about them, and I just found the experience so debilitatingly difficult to organize and stressful that I just went, I'm not going to make any of this music like happen live. It's just too hard. It's I would prefer to try and make good records, and it's not worth doing. And that was pretty much the place I was at when I put this new record out. And I would have to credit Joe Segreto, who organises the Homebake Festival, for convincing me to consider doing it live, because he badgered me for months and finally convinced me to do this festival. And so that pretty much has directed like a lot of my time for the last 7 to 8 months.
Well, the nation collectively thanks Joe as well, because it is a sight to see. I'm wondering, one of the great things about watching you live as well is that at the centrepiece of this massive setup, there is a drummer with a headset, something that I'm a big fan of, Madonna wore one, but also there's been many who have come before you with the drummers who sing, Phil Collins, Karen Carpenter, Georgia from Yola Tango does it, Cram from Spiderbait. Is there a weight on your shoulders to really deliver when you think about those who have tread the path before you, Wally?
Ooh, well, I guess sometimes I don't think of that many to list. I kind of like to think I'm a little bit more unique being a singing drummer. But
I've just horribly put you in your place, haven't I?
That's it. I can't say anything more. No, I think, Karen, I don't know. Probably Phil Collins out of those is the one that to me stands head and shoulders above the rest. Purely, I mean, regardless of whether you like his music or not, just because having watched a fair amount of concert footage from him over the years, he is pretty insanely remarkable in his ability to play complex drum parts while singing like a mofo. I don't love all his music, but I do sort of constantly remark at his talent to combine those abilities.
Do you find it hard to be thinking about the rhythm and also recalling the vocals and also, I imagine, thinking about all the other sounds that are going on around you as you are orchestrating this massive setup?
That has been interesting. The singing drumming thing is something I've been doing for a while. I mean, playing in my other band, The Basics, I do it, you know, every show, and we play a lot. We have played a lot over the last 4 or 5 years. But it usually tends to come down to a specific song, a certain groove and a certain vocal and how they go together. So some songs can be deceptively simple, and others might sound pretty straightforward or, you know, similar to others, but I find incredibly difficult just because of, you know, some of the independence of different limbs and the rhythms I'm having to try to play while doing a different vocal. So, it totally depends on the song.
This is actually a guy who calls Melbourne home, as you do too, works out of his bedroom, as you have done in the past as well. His name's Fauxpas.
Fauxpas is a friend of mine, so this is This is just a cheap plug for a
nepotism
friend of mine
at its finest.
That's right. It is relevant to this moments in the last year, because I've always respected what Tim's done musically, and he's put out a couple of great releases, an EP and an album. The track we're going to hear is off a record he put out totally independently, I guess, as I did, but even a step more so, in that he only distributed it through his website, and so I couldn't find a distributor for it, which I was really disappointed about, because I think it deserves to be in stores and available to people. But it just inspired me when he put out the album, because I thought, A, musically it was amazing, and B, he was doing pretty well just, you know, selling it directly, just being totally the one man music making, art designing, manufacturing, stock organizing, order taking guy. And and I think this track deserves a lot more play than it's gotten. Hint, hint.
Hey, I've been caning it since this album came out.
You have, actually, you have, yeah.
Last few songs you've been hearing are hand-selected by Gautier, who's taking fire with us, walking us through the soundtrack to his top five moments of a very big year. Wally, did Emily Ullman play a part in your year? Did you kick back to some of her songs when you were very sleepy after a big night out or anything?
Actually, I was listening to that song a lot, and Emily's album more broadly, wandering around, having just bought an iPod for the first time. And I spent a month and a half in Sydney, right in the centre of town, in an apartment block, put up by a production company who offered me a spot in this great theatre show where I incorporated my Gautier music into a small ensemble of six people. I was the only musician, and that was performed at the Opera House in November last year. So that was a really exciting time, kind of really, I suppose, my first real feeling of being like a professional musician in a way. Like, here's a month and a half where I'm fully taken care of, paid, put up to rehearse and to perform in this amazing, and have this amazing experience. And so, I was wandering around Sydney just kind of with a bit of time off, exploring some nooks and crannies and blaring Emily's track, that one's especially into my ear, and just really loving that line, whatever you love, you are.
Did we get all the ingredients? 'Cause I can't see the list for your clutching, and the aisles are too narrow and the shelves are too fucking high, and I can't see the list for your clutching. No, I can't see the list for your clutching me. It doesn't count if you lower. Whatever you love, you are.
wonder if she was consciously tipping her hat to the Dirty Three there.
Yeah, right.
But it's a beautiful line and I really connect with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's been a massive year as we've been talking about. It makes me wonder if you've actually had any chance in between all of this stuff that's been going on to think about where to next, what happens with another album or new songs.
I've definitely been thinking about it a lot. I wish I'd had more time. I'm very much a doing person, I think. I like to consider things and be thoughtful about stuff, but I like to be active and getting things done. So it's hard to have this. It's the second time I've had this experience, which is working hard to kind of finish an album, finding it fairly difficult, putting it out myself, and then I guess feeling a bit locked into, you know, for good reasons, I guess, because there's been response to my music, but feeling locked into this sort of lifestyle, which is extremely busy and taking care of everything, organising your own release, promoing it, doing interviews, organising your own band, being your own manager, musical director, trying to contact labels overseas yourself, spending lots of hours on the internet doing email and MySpace, etc. So, yeah, I've been thinking a lot about, you know, what do I do next musically? Where do I go? Will, you know, the response to this album, maybe will that make it hard for me to start, you know, when I start writing songs, will I be sort of second guessing myself or aiming for something because of, you know, the response to certain songs on this album? I kind of hope not, but I think one main challenge I've set myself is to hopefully avoid any potential copyright issues with the way that I sample and what I do.
Yeah.
Because that's a bit of a minefield that I may not have navigated yet. cut that bit out.
Work all night and I drink a rum.
Daylight come and we won't go
home. I guess that's been on my mind, just how to do that, how to maintain this sample-based approach, because it's one of the most exciting, it is, I think, for me, possibly the most exciting part of making this Gautier music is the spark from collecting these crazy records and finding bits and pieces and watching them have these glorious little meetings sometimes and then pushing and prodding them and adding my own ideas to make these songs. So I hope I can do that while hopefully just saving myself a lot of headache before I release another record.
Do you have, having the chance to get your hands on a whole bunch of samples is obviously terribly exciting, but thinking, I guess, more about the human side of music making, do you find that the more you travel around, play different festivals, meet different people, that you're meeting a bunch of different potential collaborators for another album?
Well, in a way, I guess, look, some of the people I've played today, I guess, like Josh Pike and the boys from Carnival, I've got to know personally over the last year, which has been really great. And I've been quite surprised. Like, I mean, you said you were sort of surprised by some of my choices and perhaps my taste picking songs today, but I was quite surprised and very flattered that those guys seem to be, sort of fans of what I'm doing musically. And
yeah.
I went to see, actually, going back to Carnival, I went to see them play a show at the Hi-Fi Bar in Melbourne. And like I said, kind of felt like I was maybe reconnecting with this sort of this flow of energy that heavy music can give you that I felt I hadn't really connected with for a while. And they were playing my album from start to finish before their set every night at their shows. I was a bit freaked out.
That's a good way to get people in the mood.
Yeah. So, yeah, hey, potential collaborators there. I would love that. People whose music I really respect and who I'd love to maybe get into a jam room with and see if there can be maybe some more human elements or played parts on another Gautier record.
Wally, we can't wait to hear what happens next. And congratulations once again on a big year. It's really ace to hear that an independent artist and see it unfold. An independent artist who's been working so hard has hit the heights you have. So good on you, mate.
Cheers, Zen.
One final song we've got today as we take five with you. Top five moments of the last year. The wonderful presets and Are You the One? Why these guys?
I haven't listened to their whole record, I think, start to finish. Maybe I've heard bits and pieces, but I just seem to have seen the presets so many places in the last year. I've just been blown away by, you know, just their live show and their real amazing dance set, great visuals, lighting, just energy, the drums, all the synth stuff they do live. And so, yeah, this is not a track I'm actually really very familiar with on record, but I thought, why not finish off with that? Because having these amazing opportunities in the last year to play a couple of these festivals, it's been very cool to watch them play live.
All right, we'll take you back to that happy place. iPods, MySpace, and Gautier in 2007. That was fun, and a special treat as it's never appeared before on the podcast. Happy 20th to Like Drawing Blood, the album that changed it all for Wally DeBakker. Next time on Take 5...
I keep a store of kind of quite a lot of stuff. It's pretty random as well. Like
pure joy as Hot Chip come to play.
We call it Joe's Vault of Heat. Joe's Heaters.
To mark the 20th anniversary of their huge album, The Warning, the joy of repetition will really be in you when we revisit a blissful Take 5 with Joe and Al.
It's like Prince as well.
Yeah.
That's next time.
Come hang out with your mates on Double J.
Loving great music is a lifelong passion.
And we're here to help you keep discovering.
Hello, it's Michael Hing from Double J Mornings.
It's Yumi Stines here.
It's Dylan Lewis from Arvo's on Double J.
Great music lasts forever, and you'll find it on Double J.
Somebody that you used to know.
We're on DAB Radio in your car, or just swipe across on the Triple J app.